I was jumping out of my skin. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't focus. I was vacillating between crippling fear of what might happen, anger and rage about what was happening, and a deep aching sadness in the midst of it happening. I would bounce from one to the other like a pinball, all the while trying to be present, trying to appear calm and thoughtful. But inside, my inner chaos was consuming me. All the while, I was not the person going through it. My wife was. She was the one diagnosed with lymphoma. She was the one going through chemo. She was the one dealing with these sort of crippling side effects and facing her mortality in an unavoidable way. I was just along for the ride. And I was not doing well. I shared with some close friends, my therapist and spiritual director, but that wasn't enough. Verbal processing was good and naming this stuff roiling inside me, but it was, I got to be honest, it was not relieving it. And I even thought perhaps it was amplifying it, because all I seemed to be doing was talking about it and processing and talking and processing. And as much as I poured out, it seemed my glass of woes kept filling back up. I sought ways to go numb. I would sit with my phone watching endless reels of mindless videos, trying to turn it off, not to feel, not to be afraid. I was not doing well. My therapist slash spiritual director told me, go within. Go within, I screamed. Are you crazy? Why would I want to go inward? That's what I'm trying to avoid. She said, it's counterintuitive, but if you desire peace, you have to walk into the chaos of your inner self to be with God. She suggested I practice quiet and solitude. Now, it was laughable, really. Quiet and solitude. Because my wife was going through chemo during COVID. We were on lockdown in our townhouse for 6 months. The only time I got out of that house was to take my wife to doctor's appointments or chemo or pick up groceries or medications. On days she felt well enough, we would get in the car and go on these things we call chemo drives. We drove practically every inch of this city. Do you know on Federal, there is a restaurant that advertises $1.59 a scoop? $1.59 a scoop, that is a bargain. But it begs the question, a scoop of what? Right? What kind of restaurant sells by the scoop? But I digress. The point is, I was already living a solitary life. The last thing I wanted was more solitude and quiet. She said, Terry, but that is where you'll find peace. You'll find quiet for your soul and your spirit and your heart. You'll find God in the midst of this maelstrom of fear and anger and sadness. You have to go into solitude and quiet to find it and be with Him. And like a stern parent, she pointed me towards God and said, now go. Go. Now, I had practiced the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude before, and I had fallen out of the practice decades ago. I practiced it as a young priest. And to be perfectly honest, I did it as a prideful pursuit of desiring to become holy. Right? Not true holiness, but rather an ego-driven holy that would be all glittery and special and impress you all. I gave it up because it didn't work. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work if you want to be that kind of holy Elvis sort of holy, which I was pursuing. But it does work if you desire to become whole. And I did, because I was becoming fractured and disintegrated. Fractured and disintegrated as I put on the face and the role of priest for all of y'all. As I put on the face and the role of resilient, selfless caregiver for my wife, but inside, I was not doing well at all. So I girded up my loins and I entered the quiet and solitude, and it was anything but quiet. I remember my first attempt. I was in our spare bedroom. I turned off the phone, turned off the light, sat with my feet on the floor in a straight back chair, and I entered the quiet. I closed my eyes and began to focus on my breathing. In, out, slowing my breathing. And immediately, I was hijacked with an image of standing here at Christ Church at Joe Ellen's funeral. And I was just grabbed by the throat, and I shook it off. And I started breathing again. In, out, in, out. And almost immediately, I was in this escape fantasy. I was riding my motorcycle through the hills and through the mountains. It was exhilarating. And I shook that off as well. And I came back to my body, and over and over, distraction back, over and over and over. It was like wrestling a bear in a closet. My mind was this unruly bully who was assaulting me with fantasies. Catastrophe, escape, and peppering in there occasionally. Oh, and remember, you got to pick up that prescription at 2 o'clock and the laundry needs to go in the dryer. By the time my phone alarm went off, just 10 minutes, I felt like I had gone 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. And to be perfectly honest, I did not want to do that again. Now, I know I'm overselling this quiet and solitude thing, and you guys are chomping at the bit now to try it. But let me just finish the story. The next day, I girded up my loins again and entered the quiet. And this time I added a breathing phrase, and it was rather desperate. Lord Jesus, be with me. Lord Jesus, be with me. And immediately my mind assaulted me with distractions. I wrestled through it. The next day was just as bad. And the next, and the next, and the next. But what I found was, even though in the moment it felt like a battle with my mind, I discovered myself during the rest of the day being calmer, less harried, less manufactured. I found myself being more present with Joellen and myself. Next time I spoke to my therapist / spiritual director, she encouraged me to visualize a place of calm and peace. And imagine Jesus coming and being with me and just sitting with me. And so the next day I envisioned myself at my favorite camping spot at Chalk Lake in Buena Vista. And no, you can't go there. Don't take my spaces. And there I was, sitting at the table. In, out, Jesus, be with me. And he comes walking up from the river and he sits across from me. Lord Jesus, be with me. Be with me. And boom. I was at the funeral home picking out a casket for Joe Ellen. I refocus back to my body, back to the breathing. Again, Lord Jesus, be with me. Over and over. Coming back and starting again and again. And I just envision Jesus sitting across from me, looking at me with the sincerest love as I wrestled. And then my alarm went off. I was up to 15 minutes. And there I am, in my house, on lockdown with my wife going through chemo. And somehow, I'm finding peace. Peace. Somehow, in the midst of that, I'm being ministered in a way that I can't explain. Can't explain it. And during my day, my mind is actually calmer. I'm more present. I find I can more easily enter into those spaces in my life that are hard and good. I've been practicing quiet and solitude now consistently for 3 years. It has become the bedrock of my spirituality. It has become my grounding and my connection with Jesus. As the ancient disciples of our faith have often said and lived, silence and solitude are the font of our spiritual life. It is a place where we meet our true selves and confront our false selves in the presence of a loving God. It is the place where we find mercy and forgiveness for ourselves. And we can offer genuine mercy and forgiveness for others and learn to live with compassion for the world. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Way of the Heart, said it so succinctly. Solitude is the furnace of transformation. Listen, people of God, we live in a world that is doing everything possible to fill our lives and our minds with noise and distraction. It's just designed that way. We think flipping on the TV, staring at our screens endlessly, scrolling through TikToks and Instagram and news feeds will give us the numbing agent we desire to get some relief from the buzz in our heads and in our lives. It does not work. It doesn't. Do you know why it doesn't work? Because it's all designed to stimulate and addict us. And it leaves us wanting and needing more. And in the end, we'll feel more exhausted, more fractured, more discontented than when we started. Jesus is calling us to him, to be with him, to become like him, to live like him. And it starts with just the smallest desire, like a mustard seed, and then putting that desire into action. Going into the quiet and solitude, because it is there he will most certainly meet us. So for the next 5 weeks, we are going to invite you into the presence of Jesus through the ancient practice of quiet and solitude. It will not be easy, I guarantee it. And initially, it may be one of the hardest things you've ever tried to do. But together, we're going to do it. And we're going to talk about it. And we're going to share our experiences. And we're going to learn together to be with Jesus. So, let's take a moment and focus on the how. Because as you know, us preachers, we love to tell you what to do. We just never tell you how to do it. Okay? You ready? Here are the steps, okay, that you can take, and they're in this practice guide that's out at the welcome desk. You can also scan the QR code, take you right to the material. But here, number one, find a quiet place, a place free of distraction, as free as possible. I tend to get up very early, so the house is quiet. Two, find a comfortable but alert position. Do not practice this in bed. It won't work. It just won't. Don't practice it in your lazy boy, Phil. It won't work. Straight back chair, feet on the floor, an alert position, but relaxed. Set a timer on your phone, 10 minutes. I'm going to invite you to do 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes. Start the timer, close your eyes, begin to focus on your breathing. In, out. In, out, and then intentionally slow it down. Stay connected with your body. Feel what your back, your hips, where the aches and pains are. Don't run away from your body. Be present with your body. This is about integrating body, mind, and spirit. In, out. You may add a phrase to your breathing, Lord Jesus, or Lord Jesus, be with me. Now, distractions will flood your mind. They will. The to-do list, the argument you've been having with that person in your head for over a week, that'll pop in there. Worries, concerns, escape fantasies. It'll all come flooding in. And when you notice you're distracted, and you'll have to notice it, because your brain will take you places you never thought you were going. Once you realize, wait a second, I'm not in Tahiti. I'm sitting in a chair in my spare bedroom. Oh, start again. Start again. Listen, distractions don't mean you're a bad prayer. They just mean you're human. Now, as your mind settles, over time, as your mind begins to settle, you can let go of the phrase and just be in the quiet and solitude until a distraction hijacks you. Then you start again. When the alarm goes off, you slowly transition back and you offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Finally, if you're sort of a visual person, you might want to incorporate a visualization of your place, yourself in a quiet, peaceful place, and perhaps Jesus is there with you. But not Chalk Lake Campground in Buena Vista, campsite number 13. That's mine. It's taken. That's where I go. So, I want to invite and encourage you to do this each day for 10 minutes. That's your homework. It is not easy. Now, I don't want this to feel like another thing that you have to add to an already packed schedule and life. I want you to think about something you need to actually subtract from your schedule in order to do this. If your morning routine is to wake up, grab a cup of coffee, flip on the TV, you get the news, subtract the news. Use that time for silence and solitude. Listen, the world will be there when you're done. The news will not change. The truth is, to do this, you're going to have to adjust your life and you're going to have to subtract something. Finally, stick with it. It will be hard, and most likely it will get harder before it gets better. And then it'll get better before it becomes indispensable to your life. This is not instant gratification exercise. This is not Joel Osteen's 7 quick steps to a new life. This is old school. This is an ancient practice which Christians have been using for 2,000 years, which over time, months, years, decades, will transform you into a brighter reflection of the one you desire to be with, become like, and live like. So, I've told you what the what is, I've told you the how. Guess what? Let's do it. I'm going to hijack the creed, the prayers of the people, and the confession. We're going to actually practice what we preach. How refreshing is that idea? So let's start. I want you to sit in your seat, feet on the floor, upright, not feet. I'm going to join you. 5 minutes. Now, for those of you on live stream, you got to do it too, right? Or this will be the most boring 5 minutes of TV you've ever seen. Okay? Feet on the floor. Hands on your lap. In. Out.